Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 27, Understanding Eternal Nature, Text Number 27. Yadaivam Atyatma Vratata
Yadaivam Atyatma Vratata
Kalena Bahu Janmana
Kalena Bahu Janmana
Sarvatra Jata Vairagya
Sarvatra Jata Vairagya
Abrahma Bhuvanan Muni
Abrahma Bhuvanan Muni
Yadaivam Atyatma Vratata
Self-realization. Kalena.
For many years.
Bahu Janmana.
For many births. Sarvatra.
Everywhere.
Chattavairagya.
Attachment is born.
Abrahma Bhuvana. Up to Brahmaloka. Muni. A thoughtful person. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When a person thus engages in devotional service and self-realization for many years, he becomes completely reluctant to enjoy any one of the material planets, even up to the highest planet, which is known as Brahmaloka, becomes fully developed in consciousness. Please repeat. When a person thus engages in devotional service
and self-realization
for many years and births. He becomes completely reluctant
to enjoy any one of the material planets.
Even up to the highest planet. Which is known as Brahmaloka. He becomes fully developed in consciousness. Purport. Anyone engaged in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as a devotee. But there is a distinction between pure devotees and mixed devotees. So the next sentence, I think, is a mistake. I'll write to the Vidura and ask him about it. But here it says, mixed devotee engages in devotional service for the spiritual benefit of being eternally engaged in the transcendental abode of the Lord, full bliss and knowledge. So that should be pure devotee engages in devotional service the spiritual benefit of being eternally engaged in the transcendental abode of the Lord and full bliss and knowledge. Eternal existence when a devotee is not completely purified, on the other hand, he expects material benefit from the Lord in the form of relief from material misery. Or he wants material gain, advancement in knowledge of the relationship between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity, or knowledge as to the real nature of the Supreme Lord. The person is transcendental to these conditions, he is called a pure devotee. He does not engage himself in the service of the Lord for any material benefit or for understanding the Supreme Lord. His one interest is that he loves the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he spontaneously engages in satisfying it. The highest example of pure devotional service is that of the gopis in Vrindavan. They are not interested in understanding Krishna, but only in loving him. That platform of love is the pure state of devotional service. Unless one is advanced to this pure stage of devotional service, there is a tendency to desire elevation to a higher plant material position. Mixed devotee may desire to enjoy a comfortable life by another planet with a greater span of life, such as on Brahmaloka. These are material desires, but because a mixed devotee engages in the service of the Lord, ultimately after many, many lives of material enjoyment, he undoubtedly develops Krishna consciousness. And the symptom of this Krishna consciousness is that he is no longer interested in any sort of materially elevated life. He does not even aspire to become a personality like Lord Brahma. So the text again. Yadaivam adhyatma rataha Yadaihina bahujanmana Sauratra jata vairagya Abrahma bhuvanan muni. When a person thus engages in devotional service and self-realization for many, many years and births, becomes completely reluctant to enjoy on any one of the material planets, even up to the highest planet, which is known as Brahmaloka. He becomes fully developed in consciousness. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhaya Srimate Bhakti Rama Swamidiname Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Prajarne Nirvite Shashun Gati Pashtya Vyashantarne. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Chaturvanya Chaturvidhava Jandemam Jana Sukritin Arjuna Artha Jignasya Aratarati Jnani Cha Bharatarshava. And there are four kinds of pious persons who approach Krishna. First one is the Arti, one who is suffering. Actually, in the material world, everyone is suffering. But only a pious person realizes he's suffering. The Mudha, on the other hand, which is the equivalent of the person who's suffering, but is not pious. Because everyone's suffering, but the pious one who's pious understands he's suffering and he approaches Krishna to end his suffering. And the Mudha thinks he's enjoying. And he never approaches God because he thinks it's a waste of time. I have everything I need. Actually, I don't have everything I need. I just need more of the same material enjoyment, and then I'll become satisfied. So the Artha is one who's realizing the affliction of illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling, especially, and they try to perform some duty in such a way that they're able to at least be sufficiently conscious of Krishna. They don't have to become under the control of lust, anger, and greed to the extent that they engage in these activities, which are the cause of suffering. They have at least that much intelligence. Now, in modern society, people are generally just mudha. And Prahlad Maharaj said, they're not only mudhas, they're vimudha. Mudha means ass, and vimudha means super ass. Prahlad Maharaj says, naiva dvide pra dharatya vaitaranyas pavirya gayana mahamrita magnichi dat So chevi mukachekta se indriyarta maya sukhayam bharam udhuto vimudha. That Prahlad Maharaj understood that if he simply heard about Krishna and absorbed his mind sufficiently in Krishna, then he'd enter into the ocean of transcendental pleasure. Krishna and his ever liberated associates live in an ocean of transcendental happiness. And one who hears about such activities and is able to sufficiently concentrate on such activities also merges one's consciousness in the same ocean of pleasure. But for those who have no taste in such activities, who don't believe in such activities, or never hear of such activities, for them the activity that they like to hear about is the ever-glorification of sense gratification. And the Srimad Bhagavatam says that the material world's glorification, sense gratification, is just like going to the ocean and listening to the babble of sea waves. The shore is coming, it's making some sound. And of course, there are persons who are probably quite esoteric. They go down and try to find out what the ocean is actually trying to say. Surely the ocean has a message. We just have to listen carefully enough to hear it. So similarly, in modern society, people are listening very carefully. Of course, as their consciousness is going down, the messages and the songs have become ever more lowly and degraded. Now, people write songs, they have two words in the song, they keep on repeating it until people become crazy enough to think it's a song. And if they hear some transcendental sound vibration, they think this sounds horrible. Why do these people keep on chanting Hare Krishna? Why don't they chant boo 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 boo? Something meaningful. It's like when Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Prabhupāda's disciples went to Burma. So in Burma, they were cooking, they rented an apartment, they were cooking porridge. And all the neighbors started to complain about the horrible sound, the smell which was coming from the kitchen. They kept on complaining. They were smelling ghee. And they said, "This is disgusting, you know, you're ruining the whole neighborhood with this smell." Because they were used to another kind of smell called nata. Has anyone here ever had nata? It's a very special preparation they make. Anything that died in the village, they put on a pot on the roof and let the sun bake it. Because the sun is very strong in Burma, so the sun will bake it, make it liquefy. And then they strain off the liquid, and they use that on the feast, because it's a very special, delicious preparation. So when they smell that, they become enlivened. But this horrible smell of ghee was distracting from their beautiful smell of nata. So everyone has a different taste, and for the person in the material world, lust, anger, and greed, they can't get enough of it. Like nowadays, who's actually glorified as great personalities, advanced personalities? It's people with money. Which Prahlad Maharaj said, "Money, money, sweeter than honey." The professional soldier, the thief, and the merchant, they'll risk their very lives in order to get money. Because why money? Because with money we can gratify the senses, and that they consider the prime necessity of human civilization. So the Muda is one simply trying to get more. He can't sleep enough. If there's only 24 hours a day, he's lamenting. If there would be 25 hours, I could sleep that extra hour. They can't eat enough. It's always amazes me when I'm on an airplane and like it's a long distance, 12 hours, they serve like 5 meals and people eat all the 5 meals. It seems like they must have mystic power because it doesn't look like there's enough room to fit in, the food to fit into their stomach. You wonder where it goes. So people think I can't eat enough. Of course, sex means, nowadays, male, female, cat, dog, alive, dead. It makes no difference. It's all love. And of course, defending, that's what children are trained up to do. sit at a computer all day long or their little play game and kill things all day long. How many things did you kill today? Oh, I killed 3 million. Ah, oh, I did 4.5. Oh, you're my hero. Someone saw that the children actually think it's just all play. Like one, it was a true story, one little girl, she got into a fight with her neighbor, little boy, they were 4 or 5 years old. So she took her parent's rifle and shot him in the head. Because after all, it's all play. He should have just popped up and become alive again. So people, they're absorbed in eating, sleeping, mating, defending. They think that's life. That is life. Everything else is illusion. But the person who's suffering, he tries to restrain the senses. By doing so, he actually gets a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of enlightenment, that actually I've been suffering, not because I haven't been gratifying my senses, but because I've been gratifying my senses too much. Because the senses are never satisfied, Krishna says, and they burn like fire. So then he becomes a bona fide candidate to hear something about the truth, but just enough about the truth that keeps him from merging back into the ocean material suffering. And they make enough advancement that mentioned the other day when Gandhi was asked, what do you think of British civilization? He responded, I think it would be a good idea. In other words, there was no British civilization. Because real civilization is when people control their senses, but after being what Krishna says, one who's suffering, they come to a civilized society, and then they have the opportunity to make further advancement by living a civilized life, following the Vedas, trying to come to the mode of goodness, being clean, being truthful, being merciful, being austere, and therefore, by those principles, they become further purified. But after suffering, and then becoming free from suffering, and then being born or being elevated to a society where people have the opportunity to be fairly civilized, if one thinks now is the time to enjoy, then he becomes what's called a Naradama. He apparently is civilized. He's living in a country. People have cars, they have television sets, they have their iPhone, whatever. But actually their habits, their activities, are less than that of the animals. What is that? Two-legged animal, dvipashu, pada. Dvipada-pashu. They live civilized, but as we can see in Australia it hasn't become so degraded, but in America they talk about zombies now, that you somehow or another people get into a fight or something, they're so intoxicated, one person becomes so disturbed, he actually starts eating the other person on the street. Raw food diet, of course. Soon they'll have to set a fire up and cook them on the street, of course. Now there's raw food fanatics. So this is not civilization. They're Naradamas. Apparently they're civilized, but actually they have this less than that of the animals. They're like the monkeys. There are four kinds of persons, Prabhupada said. The intelligent but inactive, the active intelligent, the active foolish, or the inactive foolish, and the active foolish. So the worst is the active foolish. If you're foolish, it's bad. But if you're inactive, you can't do any harm. But if you're actively foolish, then that's the worst thing. Because you'll go around just doing mischievous, like the mischief, just like the monkeys. They're foolish, but they're very enthusiastic to do foolish activity. So the Naradamas are very active. They're going all around the world proclaiming they're going to liberate people. And they're destroying everything. But if one is able to become civilized and follow those principles of mercy and truthfulness and cleanliness and austerity, then one can actually come to the platform becoming jignasu, inquisitive, trying to understand who we really are, what the purpose of life is, how to actually get free from our problems of life, what is the goal of life. So they become inquisitive. And if they find the right persons who have knowledge, then that knowledge can lead them further forward to actually becoming on the mode of goodness platform. But after becoming civilized, if they want to utilize that opportunity to speculate, to find out now that we have all these resources, how can we enjoy with them, then they become a Maya Prita Jnana. They seemingly have the blessings of God, but now they want to utilize it in some mischievous way also, to set themselves up as some kind of authority, some kind of leader amongst others, but then they become a misleader by becoming a Maya Prita Jnana. They get some knowledge, some education, they think they've understood things, but they've understood things wrong because they don't accept Krishna into the equation. They think now they become Krishna. And therefore their knowledge has been stolen by illusion. And others who actually have some real knowledge, they're jignasu and inquisitive, they may come to the Brahminical platform and realize that the purpose of life is to become God conscious, to surrender to Krishna, like the four Kumaras. They were Brahmachari Brahmanas, and when they went to Vaikuntha, they got the good fortune of seeing Narayan, and therefore they became enlightened by smelling the tulsi leaves and the sandalwood pulp on his lotus feet, and they became pure devotees. But those who come to the platform of Brahminical life realize that they're not their body, which even Hiranyakashipu understood he wasn't his body. Therefore, when his little baby brother, Hiranyaksha, was killed, and his relatives were lamenting, our little baby has been killed. He was walking down the street and some animal hit him. But Hiranyakashipu preached to his relatives, well, that we're not this body. We're eternal. Don't worry. Hiranyaksha is not dead. He just took another body. So he was a Jnani. He had knowledge, but he was a demon. Because he thought he was God. So, if one is a Maya Prita Jnana, then he goes nowhere. But if one is a Brahmin, but he decries God, he doesn't appreciate Krishna, then he becomes an Asura Bhava Ashritya, a demon. But if he's fortunate in the Brahminical platform to understand Krishna, then he becomes a pure devotee of Krishna, and he understands that the goal of life is to become a devotee of Krishna and go back to the spiritual world. So that's the platform we're trying to act from. No, generally speaking, no one comes to the Hare Krishna movement a pure devotee, although sometimes we think we are. But in the association with devotees, we rapidly understand we're not. But it's an opportunity, whatever platform we are, whether we're suffering or we have some propensity towards the mode of goodness, or we're inquisitive, or we've even understood the difference between ourselves and the body, we have to act on the second-class platform. Madhyama Adhikari to actually act on the liberated platform, which is where our movement is supposed to start. And what are the activities of a liberated devotee? Well, he tries to love Krishna. He doesn't think that Krishna is the big daddy in the sky. He's Santa Claus, the source of Santa Claus, where every day we go to the temple and there's Christmas for us. We chant Hare Krishna, and it's like our bead bag is like a lamp. We just rub it, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and Krishna pops up. Yes, what can I do for you? No, we try to love Krishna without any expectation that Krishna has to reciprocate. That every round I write an extra thing down. You don't have, this is my wish list. My birthday is coming up, Krishna. Everyone else is giving me a present. So, see what happens. No, he tries to eat prema. He just tries to appreciate how wonderful Krishna is. He's given me everything I need. Unless one has gratitude, then one can never be happy. One could never be satisfied. As I said the other day, Vamanadeva, when he was offered some benediction from Bali Maharaj, and Vamanadeva asked for 3 steps of land. So he was a little dwarf boy. Bali Maharaj was the proprietor of the whole universe. He said, "Why are you just asking for 3 steps of land? I can give you villages, I can give you planets, I can give you little Brahmin girls, I can give you so many things. Why just 3 steps of land?" So Vamana said, if someone's not satisfied with 3 steps of land, he won't be satisfied with the whole universe. Of course, he got his 3 steps of land, and he took 2 steps, and he got the whole universe. Krishna's tricky. And he still wasn't satisfied. So he correctly perceive what his future consciousness would be. But if one is unsatisfied with what one has, then one will not be satisfied even if he gets everything. So one has to learn gratitude. The Krishna has given me everything I need. I don't need anything else. I just need him. Otherwise, if one doesn't appreciate the opportunity to obtain Krishna, and one still thinks I need so many things and then I'll get Krishna. It's like now we're going to have the awards for book distribution. So previously in our movement we used to say, if we simply go out and distribute books, then Krishna will supply everything. And nowadays sometimes we say, if we simply get everything, then we'll be able to go out and distribute books. Or I'm just preparing myself to preach. Preparing myself for 300 years. And when I get ready, then I'll preach. Tell someone about Krishna. So, if one has gratitude, Krishna has given me everything I need. And I simply need Krishna now. I should develop my desire to obtain Krishna. Then one can actually try to love Krishna. Serve Krishna. Without the idea that I need something from Krishna. And then, one should try to cooperate with the devotees. We're in the Association of Devotees. In the Association of Devotees, we can hear about Krishna. We can't come to the temple and Lord Jagannath is not going to tell us about himself. Lord Jagannath, you look like you're happy. What's your secret? You can try. You can talk to him. He may answer you, but it may take a long time. Or sometimes people hear the answer, but it's not exactly what Krishna says in his book. They hear a lot of answers. So one should try to hear from the devotees, but we can't hear from the devotees unless we have some proper relation with the devotees. We won't hear from anyone we don't like. and take them seriously. We can't like anyone if we're competing with them. We don't have a nice relationship with them. The relationship in the material world is that everyone's promising in their friendship, I'm here to serve you. It's not necessarily true, but any kind of relationship that what we want to establish, which is on a basis of positive basis, we have to take the position of service, servant. We can't go up to someone and say, I want to be friends with you because I need a good slave. Most people won't think, yeah, well, I just want to become a good slave. So we approach people with the idea, I want to be your servant. The man doesn't approach the woman and says, my dear lady, you know, I need a cook and I need someone to wash my clothes and I need someone, you know, would you like to have a relationship with me? Oh, by the way, I'm not going to pay you. And the lady doesn't say, actually, I just need someone to go out and make some money for me so I can expand myself and get a house and children and watch television all day and eat chocolate. Would you like to work for me? No, everyone, they approach each other. I'm your servant. How can I serve you? You're so wonderful and great. I'm enamored by you. I fell in love with you. I'm your servant. It takes a few months before they realize what's really going on. But at least initially, it seems quite attractive. Similarly, to hear properly from anyone, we have to take a service attitude. So therefore, we're trained up that we call each other Prabhu. And sometimes the devotees come to the temple and they hear, yes, everyone's called me Prabhu. Finally, they realize who I am. I'm in a society of enlightened people. And of course, I call other devotees Prabhu or Mataji or whatever because we want to make them feel good. But we have to cooperate with the devotees, especially to spread the Hare Krishna movement. Well, even within the temple, to worship the deities here out of love, there are so many devotees. It's not that I'm the only devotee in the temple, that Krishna's kind of bored, he's wondering when I'm going to come, and suddenly when I come, he lights up. All the deities light up, here he is, or here she is. Now let devotional service begin. There are so many devotees in the temple. Krishna wants to see us cooperating with each other to serve him. And for the innocent, we're supposed to try to help the innocent. It's not that the innocent, they're all, you know, they're not devotees, they deserve to wherever they're going. No, we're supposed to try to help them because that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, is to save the persons who are fallen in the material world. We're in Krishna consciousness because someone tried to help us. So if we try to help others, others will also become devotees. And of course, those who are against Krishna, we try to avoid them rather than try to relish their association, admire how nicely they can hit the wicked or whatever. We try to avoid this such association because they distract, they draw our mind away from Krishna. It's cultivating real, pure devotional service will eventually bring us to the Uttamadhikari platform where our actual love for Krishna will be awakened and we can experience transcendental happiness all the time, ever increasingly. Therefore, the devotees have to understand what is the process of making advancement, and even on our platform I'm on now where I can make advancement, what the dangers are of becoming complacent and thinking I've advanced enough, now let me go back to the material energy and try to enjoy it, but on a higher platform. How Maya will entangle us, even after we become relatively free from sinful activities, relatively situated in the religious principles, even after gaining some knowledge, or even after becoming liberated from all material influence, how Maya can trick us into trying to enjoy material nature again. So whatever platform we are now, if we try to understand what is the benefit of acting on this liberated platform by trying to love Krishna, by trying to cooperate with the devotees, by trying to help the innocent, spread the Hare Krishna movement, the Sankirtan movement, and try to detach ourselves from unwanted association. Understand the benefit of those activities, even while we're conditioned souls, then we can make progress, not only towards liberation, but ultimately towards the highest goal of life, associated with Krishna eternally on the spiritual platform. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Maharaj, how did you get introduced to Krishna consciousness? And what was your faith? How did your faith develop?
Well, someone gave me a book and asked me for a donation. No, actually, there weren't any books back then. How did I get introduced? The first time I got introduced is someone told me the Hare Krishna mantra. And I didn't know I was chanting, but I tried to learn it. And then after that, my friends who were living at 26 Second Avenue, and this is 1968, so they told me about it. They told me they were living there for some time, and they got up in the morning at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and they started to dance. So I thought they had become moon worshippers. But later on, I got one of my friends told me about, because I was interested in yoga and meditation, whatever else. So he told them they had just opened a center in Buffalo, and I went down there and started to practice Krishna consciousness. But that's the way everyone does. We hear about Krishna from others, and then we try it out. And if by good fortune we like it, then we practice it. And then Krishna reciprocates with us accordingly. No one does, very few devotees, except for someone like Prahlad Maharaj or Shukadeva Goswami, they just come out of the womb and they start chanting Hare Krishna. Generally have to come in contact with the devotees, hear about the process, and by good fortune, if we're fortunate, then we take it up. And if we are sincere, Krishna gives us some enlightenment, some higher taste, and then we become enthusiastic to follow it. Anything else? Yes.
How to develop determination and confidence?
Well, we follow the process and we try to become detached from the things that draw our mind away from Krishna. That's called determination. Not that I'm chanting Hare Krishna and a fly comes by. We have to become fixed, try to actually hear and chant nicely. And then all these thoughts that are going through our minds, how we have to gratify this desire or that desire, or do this and that, we become detached from those things and we become determined. How do we know that Dhruva Maharaj was determined? Not that he went into the forest and he looked around and said, there's no prasadam here. No, he was determined to fix his mind upon Krishna and became ever more determined. The more he tried chanting Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and then he started out determined, only eating a little bit of kapita fruit every third day. But the taste of Hare Krishna for chanting Om Namo Bhagavate became so great that he was willing to accept the austerity of only eating the dry leaves that fell from the trees every sixth day. It wasn't that he just developed a taste for austerity. He developed a taste for the holy name, and that made him even more determined. So I think now we have the award ceremony. So that's what it's not my birthday, so it's so who's in charge of the award ceremony? I guess no one's in charge, we just hand out the presents. So are we going to have the award ceremony?
Yeah.
So thank you very much. Grand Rajma Bhagavatam.
Kidam.
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 And the.